to our service this morning. I know some are probably carrying heavy burdens. That's good that you're here. Hopefully we can encourage you with our service and the grace of God today. This is the New Year's upon us, so you have to have New Year challenges. So this will be a big vision challenge. Who was your best and favorite teacher? Now, it can be a teacher, it could be a coach. Coaches are teachers too. But who in your life really you felt you learned a lot from, and why is that? Now, this could be any subject. Certainly it can be the Bible, but it could be your job, what you do. Maybe a high school teacher, elementary school teacher. Who was it that you held high as a teacher? Now, you don't have to answer at the same time. I'm sure there's one. And the second question is like unto it. What made them a good teacher? What made them a good teacher? And in general, what makes a good teacher? What are some attributes or some things you like to see in a teacher? What we're going to do is challenge you to consider God as your teacher. There is none like Him. We're going to talk about that. There's none like Him. We have a God who has given us a textbook. That textbook is the Word of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that. There's a God who has given us the ability to learn. We were created in His image so that He could teach us. What has He given us to help us to learn and grow? We have a perfect classroom. We have a classroom of the world, yes, with all its ills and evil and breakdown. There's a lot of grace here, too. There's a lot of beautiful things. God has allowed us to come together this morning and worship and have friends and fellowship and through the holiday season that. And so not everything in the world as we live in is bad. There's some really bad stuff, but there's some really good stuff, too, all by God's grace. What a classroom of learning God has given to us. And then certainly God has given us also role models that we can follow and we can look at and see what they're like. So we're going to look at this morning. What makes God a good teacher? And why should He be our ultimate teacher in all things? We're going to look at His book, His textbook, which He, by the way, wrote. Teachers generally don't write the textbooks they've gotten. God wrote His. And so that's good. And let's begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have created us in Your image. That's a very, very powerful and wonderful gift. All people were created in His image, and we should value the fact that they are. Even those most unlovable ones in our lives that we see are created in Your image. And we need to value that. That's why we're motivated to love and share the gospel with people. They're created in Your image, and Your image is a beautiful thing. And we are being renewed to that image through the true knowledge of You who created us. So we pray that You would be our teacher this morning. I pray for help in even preaching this message. You placed it on my mind and it's weighed heavy. We need to learn and grow. We need to learn who You are. There is a surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. We need to know that. We need to have the eyes of our heart enlightened to know the truth. And to understand the truth and to live the truth. So we ask, Father, that You would be with each of us this morning. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe and bring glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm always challenged by things in the Scripture. I trust you are too. This one is out of 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." What a statement. Notice what goes with it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And by these things, he has granted to us his precious promise, precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. I read that and I'm blown away with just the content alone. And intellectually, I can understand that. But I want to understand it spiritually. I want to understand it to the point I live it. Now, when we talk about both the Hebrew word for teaching and the Greek word for teaching and learning, results in obedience to God. That's what it results in. If God teaches, what's going to happen? You're going to be obedient. And why not be obedient to God? Which things don't we like? His law that he's given us is a protection of relationships. Is there something wrong with that? But we squirm and we wiggle and we don't like it because the knowledge of good and evil has created in us a selfish heart. I want to do what's right in my own eyes. Wait a minute, this is what God says over here. We don't want to be like Adam. I want the knowledge of good and evil for myself. God was our source of the knowledge of good and evil. So as I look at this and I'm going, these are powerful words. How am I going to learn this? Well, God has to teach it. God says, all those who come to me, God is going to teach. We are all students. We should all be students of God. God is the ultimate teacher. Why? He created everything. Number one, in Isaiah, it says of God, who are you going to liken me to? Who are you going to liken me to? Of all the great teachers that you've had and wonderful teachers, who are you going to liken God to? Which one of those? Now, you may liken some of those guys to being affected by God. And one would be Doc, Donnie's dad, outstanding teacher, man filled with fear, spirit of God and the fear of God. But God knows all things. Isaiah tells us who instructed God, who directed him, who gave him wisdom and understanding. No one. He had it. He is the source of all wisdom and understanding. And when you get into that class and you're studying genetics and you wonder how smart God is, and you're struggling with those things, you'll find out how wonderfully he designed things. He knows about everything. He knows about the whole creation. You know something else he knows? He knows about us. Psalm 139 tells us he's searched us, he's known us, he's tried us. He knows when we rise up, when we sit down, lie down. He knows when we walk by the wayside. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows a word before we speak it. He knows everything about us. Does the fact that God knows everything qualify him as a teacher? Yes. Does the fact that one of those things he knows is us? Is it important for a teacher to know their students? And the answer is yes, because we're all different. We all learn differently. We all perceive things differently. And I want a God that knows me, and I want a God that knows you, because all of us can grow together. There's no one outside the reach of God in his teaching, because he knows all of us. And he's created us in his image. We are intellectual. God is intellectual. And an interesting thing, too, about God is he's given us, and, you know, he knows us, but not just knows us. There's another thing that's necessary for a teacher. It's not just to know the students, it's what? To love the students. Does God love you? Does God love me? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How much of that verse do you know? I think we could have a speed quote, and some people could spit that verse out in less than a second. I don't want to spit it out in less than a second. Are you today still learning from John 3:16? You should be. For God so loved the world. Get that part? How in the world does God love the world? Who hates them? Men love darkness. They're selfish. Every person's doing what's right in their own eyes. It's full of sin and corruption and wickedness and evil. And what does God do? Love it. Now think about this a little more depth. What's he do? His love is proven by the fact he sends his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on a cross in place of sinners, which he is not. How much do we know about John 3:16? Do we really know it? To understand it intellectually, it is not difficult. God had a son. He loved the world, so he sent him to die for the world. He dies for the world, and anybody who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Intellectually, it's not a hard verse to understand. But do you ever find yourself living that verse? This is what it means to learn the Word of God. So you've got a God who knows all things. You've got a God who knows you. And you've got a God who loves you. What a teacher. And if you've ever taught in a classroom, I'm talking to classroom teachers now, are there all those students lovable? Are there some that are a little on the edge? Oh, not that student again. I was hoping he'd be absent today. You know, you do get that. It's hard sometimes, very hard. It's a challenge for us to love unlovable people. I don't think there's anybody here that isn't challenged by that. Because God brings unlovable people into their lives to do what? Teach us to love unlovable people. And it teaches how he loves us. It's important to know, that the teacher loves you? It's kind of interesting. Here's another verse. God disciplines or trains those whom he what? Loves. Oh, God disciplines us. He disciplines those whom he loves. Yeah, that's a teaching tool, by the way, that God uses. But it's not born out of anger. It's not born out of resentment. It's not born out of being penal. It's born out of love. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. God is the ultimate teacher. What does God's textbook have to do with it? Well, God is the God of life, by the way. And the reason he's the God of life and he doesn't die, because he has no sin in him. He's perfect. There's nothing corroding away at the attributes of God. Oh, I didn't know everything today because I have sin corrupted in me. That's not why he's holy or he's complete. Nothing is taking away from him. Like sin takes away from us, it doesn't take away from God because he doesn't sin. So here's a living God with a living love for us, with living knowledge of life and everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has it, and he loves us, and he has compassion towards us. And he's not going to give up on us. So what does God do? He's going to teach us with what? The living Word of God. We are born again by the living, abiding Word of God. The Word of God is the words that come directly from God. Theonoustos, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, God breathed words. Do we understand the depth of that? To the point where we live it. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why did that work in his temptation? It wasn't he was quoting, you've heard me say this before, it wasn't because he quoted it. It's because he lived it. You want power over temptation? You want the power to everything pertaining to life and godliness? I have to be taught by God so I don't just intellectually know the verse, I live the verse. That's the abundant life that Jesus Christ was talking about. The spring of living water. The living Word of God. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Able to divide the soul and the spirit and reveal the intents of the heart. Whoa, that's quite a textbook, isn't it? I open it up and it's a mirror. It tells me of my failures. What does Timothy continue to tell us? It's good for teaching. It's good for revealing mistakes and correcting mistakes, and training in righteousness. Why? Because it's a living Word of God, living and active, full of energy. Some people think the book is outdated. That's the reaction of the flesh. The Spirit of God that dwells in His Word of God is a powerful thing. And so the textbook that God is using is the Word of God. The living, abiding, eternal God-breathed Word of God. Isn't that enough to drive us to read it every day? Isn't that enough to drive us to meditate, pray through it every day? So think of this, the motivation. I got the God of creation who made me and made everything and knows everything. I've got the God who loves me and knows me and loves me the way I am and knows how to make me learn. And he's given me this living book that's full of his living word that's been trying to be, has they've tried to destroy it and stomp it out, and they still will, and they can't, because it's a living, abiding word of God. And so we have these things. We've got this great teacher. We've got this great book. And they're all working together in unity in the power of love to change my life. Well, God's got an objective. What's God's objective? He causes, I quoted it earlier, Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. His purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Is that not a worthy objective? Is that not something all of us should desire every day? I want to live like Jesus Christ. I want to be like my brother, Jesus Christ. I want to be like the one who died in my place on the cross. I want to be like him. Look at his life. He's always helping people. He's encouraging people. He's healing people. He's coming alongside people. He's doing all the stuff that wouldn't make the world a lot better, but could build a force in their local churches if people would understand it to the depth that Jesus means it. I need to live the life of Christ. And what has God given us? He says, I have been crucified. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I who live, but Christ that lives in me. In the life that I now live in this fleshly body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Is that not enough motivation to go to God and be serious about your devotions, to be serious about your time in prayer? We have access to the God who created everything, the God of life with the living word of life. And you know what else he's given us? He's given us the living spirit. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him. Why? Because you need the Spirit to understand them. The Spirit of God teaches us about God. In that same Corinthians passage, what's it say about the Spirit of God? It searches out the what? The depths of God. What in the world are the depths of God? The depths of God. The Holy Spirit searches out and knows the depths of God. That's a powerful thing. You've got a God of life who is working in conjunction with the God of the Spirit to teach, to bring things to remembrance to you, and to cause you to live the Word of God, to live the life of Christ. What are we doing? How much weight does that have? How much importance does it have? There are people in colleges who follow professors. Oh man, I gotta follow this guy. He's really it. They'll sacrifice to follow that guy to get in his classes or her classes. They will do that. How much are we willing to sacrifice? Our time, our energy, our whatever. You know, last time I preached, I talked about Jesus emptying himself of his own will. And he became obedient, even to obedience on the cross. And it talks about Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You ever wonder about that verse? We get really scared when we read those verses. Oh, you know. Well, Jesus, while he was here on earth, did he know the will of God? Yes. He knew what he came to do. He was coming to die in our place for our sin. He knew that. That is not a pleasant thing in some sense. I'm going to go die for these reprobates. They hate me. They're seeking to kill me. They don't listen to me. Oh, they like the miracles. They're big on that stuff. But when I ask them for commitment, what do? They walk away. Give us the bread from heaven, Jesus. Give us the miracle bread. Heal my soul. Heal me. But I don't want any commitment to you. Why do I want to do that? It's really sad when he feeds the 5,000 and many of his disciples, I said, many of those who were students of God walked away that day When he asked him, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, who he's talking about is commitment. Complete commitment to God and to Jesus Christ. I don't want that. Don't give me that. I'll walk away. And Peter says, Jesus says to Peter, you going to go too? Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, Peter made a great statement there. He said it, but we need to see that God had to work in Peter's life, had to teach Peter to bring him so he was living those living words of God. Peter's a great example to us. So is Jesus. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. I can only speak the words the Father has taught me. Do we spend time? God, today I only want to speak those words. Give me the words to say today. I don't know who I'm going to run into. I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm just going to follow your lead. It's not my will. It's your will. I want to say the right things to the people you have me to talk to today. Do we pray that way? I need to say the right words to my kids. I need to say the right words to my wife. I need to say the right words to the people I live with. I need to say, I work with. I need to say the right things. Do we ever ask God to give us those words? Maybe when we're going in a funeral. I don't know what to say. God, give me something to say. I don't know what to say. Maybe in those times you do. But how about every moment of every day? Jesus says this too in that emptied, surrendered state. I can do nothing on my own. I can only do the things I see the Father doing. But the Father loves me and shows me all things. Are we looking hard to see what the Father's doing so that we can do those things? Are we looking hard in the living Word of God so the teacher, God, can put into us by the power of the Holy Spirit the ability and the heart and the eternal life and the life of Christ so that we leave and we can live the abundant life in Christ Jesus? Where are we? Are we proactive in this stuff? I think of, I want to know what it means to be filled with the knowledge of Christ, with all spiritual will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as Colossians chapter 1 tells us, that I'd be filled with the knowledge of God, with all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I don't know what that verse means. I want to know what that verse means beyond intellectual. I want to live that verse. I'm doing my devotions. Lord, I need to live this verse. This verse is great. I don't live this way. I need to live this way. Teach me how to live this way. You're the great teacher. You know me. You know how I learn. Put it to me. Is there a desire, like Jesus had a desire, to love his Father, to serve his Father, and to be taught by his Father? Paul wanted to be taught by God. Moses, in his fear, said, God says, don't worry, who made your mouth? I will teach you what to say. He will also teach us what to do. When he disciplines us with the trials of life, James tells us, count it all joy, brother, when you encounter various trials. For in those trials, the testing produces endurance. Do you need endurance to live in this life? He's talking about living a righteous life in a sin-cursed world. Jesus needed endurance. We need endurance. So let's seek endurance. Have God open us up and teach us. I want God to be my teacher. David asked God to teach him all the time. But David had an expectation that if God is my teacher, I will learn. Do you have that expectation? Are you that surrendered? Because what can happen to us? Why don't we learn? We got the thing down intellectually. If we're sitting in the quiz club, we're blasting off answers left and right. But are we living what we're blasting? That's the real key. There's nothing wrong with Bible memorization. But you got to understand, we have to take it farther. We have to go before God. I want you to infuse your spirit of your word into my heart. So the life of Christ, which is in there, will come out so people can see it and be saved. That's what I need. That's what I need God to do. So the instruction of God is not just intellectual. The instruction of God is spiritual, and it's deep and it's powerful. We need to understand that. So what's our responsibility? We got the great teacher. We got the living word. We got the power of the Spirit. What else do we need? We got examples in Christ and Paul and Moses and those guys. What else do we need? We've got all those. What do we do now? We need to prepare our hearts to learn about God. We need to prepare our hearts to learn about God. What does it mean to prepare? Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra tells us what it means. Ezra prepared his heart to, number one, to study. And that word study in Hebrew is investigate. And that's effort. It's going to take effort. Never run your life on your emotions. That's the flesh talking. I don't feel like it. The flesh don't feel like it. I'm not doing it today. Bag that. Go to it. God says, this is what you're to do. Go to it. Get into the Word. And as you get into the Word, allow the Spirit to start to work in your heart. That's like the kid saying, I ain't going to school today. I don't feel like it. Does that work? Well, some kids it does. It didn't work in our house. I don't feel like going to school today. You're going to school. No choice. My parents were great at that. When they don't give any choices, you've quickly learned you don't have any choice. You just, this is what we do on Sunday. We go to church and Sunday school. I don't want to go. Nope, we're going. So why is it any different with God? I want to learn from God. I don't feel like it, God. But you ever try it? God, melt my heart right here because I don't feel like being here. I don't feel good today. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of this day. Teach me, God, teach me. We got to cry out to God to bear down on the emotions of the flesh. Because if we follow our flesh, we don't do anything. We want to follow the Spirit. Don't follow the flesh. So Ezra's preparing his heart to study. That's going to take time. That's going to take sacrifice. That's going to take effort. I remember whatever my educational experience was, it grew as the challenges grew because I wasn't a good student when I was little. But I thank for the steadfast support of my parents that worked with me on that. But as I progressed through God by His grace, in fact, after I became saved, I became a better student. But there are times you put so much effort into something, to learn something, to do a task. You're learning, and it doesn't have to be only academic. It can be anything. I need to learn how to do this. And you're putting all kinds of effort and sacrifices. And yes, you are failing and struggling, but you keep at it because what are you looking at? The end goal, whatever that might be. But there needs, so Ezra set his heart. There had to be a preparation because there's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be work. There's going to be focus. There's going to be fatigue from studying. But you know what he said then? I set my heart or prepared my heart to study the Word of God. Here it is. To live the Word of God. And you know what the third one was? To teach the Word of God. Always in that order. He didn't study so he could teach. He studied so he could live. And then he lived so he could teach. And that's how we're supposed to all do it. Because if we're all doing that, we will all learn, we'll all be living the life of Christ more consistently than we are now. And we're all going to grow as a family. We talk about the church being a family. Well, that's one of the things. All of us have a responsibility before Jesus Christ to have God Himself with His living Word and His living Spirit change us. Teach us how to live in the Spirit. Teach us how to love one another as we ought. Teach us this living Word that has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So he set his mind to do that, prepared his heart. Now, when you look at your heart, here's one. We have the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower is Christ, and what's the seed? The Word of God. Here it comes. Is your heart so packed down from walking the same trail all the time? And this is my routine. This is what I do. I'm not going to change. Change is growth. Growth is change. If you get there, you're not going anywhere because the seed of truth comes down on you and it's swept away by Satan. The birds eat it. So you don't want that kind of heart. You might have to ask, break up that hard path that I have created. Break it up, God. Get it so it's soil again, so that the seeds of your word will penetrate my heart. That may be how your heart has to be prepared. Then the next is a stony heart. Well, there's some dirt in there. So here's the stones. The stones of worry and fear and anxiety are packed inside that heart. But there's a little bit of dirt in there. And here comes the seed. Boof, it goes in there. And all of a sudden it springs up. My word, that was a wonderful message. I just couldn't believe what that was being said. That really reached my heart. That's it. Because you walk out the door and the worries and fears just swallow that truth right up and it can't grow. Maybe your prayer might be, God, get the stones of worry and fear and anxiety out of my heart. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about my relationships. I'm worried about my kids. They're walking away from you, God. Those worries can keep us from learning from our teacher, God. The living God with a living word, with a living spirit, with the living example of the resurrected Christ living in us. We got it all slanted towards us. Are we taking advantage of that? And then here's the one that swallows up Americans. Thistles of the love of the world. The thorns and the thistles of the love of the world. Maybe you just love the world too much. You're all tangled up with making money, and you're making this, and you have this, and you're doing this, and you're all over the place. I don't have time for devotion today. I don't have time for prayer today. I'm busy doing this. And all of us, by the way, are into this. We're all tangled up with the affairs of life, the love of the flesh, lust of the flesh, and the lust of the, whatever, I can't remember. And the pride of life. Oh, anyway. But we get tangled up in those things. And they keep us from really having good downtime with God. God, be my teacher. Quiet my heart right now. Quiet my heart before you. And I want you to teach me. I want you to teach me. Whatever it takes to get me to learn, God, put it to me because I want to learn. I want to become like Jesus Christ. That's what we see coming. That's where I want to be. That's your will. You predestined me to come like Jesus Christ. I want to become like Jesus Christ. And sometimes I rebel. Sometimes my heart is so hard from the daily routine of life. And sometimes my heart is full of stones of worry and fear. And sometimes my heart is filled with the love of the world. And it tangles me up and it takes me away from the things that I need to know and the places I need to be. Well, that's what Ezra did. Ezra did that stuff. So we need to follow that example of Ezra. I want you to turn to Isaiah 50. I've got so much stuff on this. Does anybody have anything in the oven? I know you do. This is a beautiful, beautiful example in the scripture. And it's found in Isaiah 50, and you've come across it before, but it's verse 4. The Lord Yahweh has given me a tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. What kind of tongue does he have? The tongue of a disciple. We talked about speaking to people. Wouldn't you love to know the right thing to say to a weary person? Because there's always weary people. If you don't get weary, there's something wrong with you. You're mechanical. But we get weary, we get tired, we get run down. Our souls need to be restored. The tongue of a disciple. A disciple of who? Yahweh, God. If we're students of Yahweh, we will have tongues to know how to sustain a weary one. Are we not supposed to sustain the weary ones among us or out in the world? Yes, we are. There's a responsibility that comes with teaching. But notice the verse continues. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to what? Listen. Who's doing the awakening? God. God wakes us up every morning to teach us. To waken my ear. I need a listening ear. If you're going to be taught by God, what kind of ear do you have to have? You have to have a listening ear. Don't go to God. Sometimes you go to God and you know everything. And so, So it's just kind of hard to listen to God because you know everything. You don't know anything. You will find the more you study the Word of God, the less you know. That's why this Holy Spirit that He's given to us has to teach us. You know the other beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit? He prays for us. That's kind of neat. When we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit's up there praying for us. But notice, He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord Yahweh has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. What's happening here? God taught him something. God opened his ear, and I didn't rebel against it. I did not rebel against it. Look at what happens as we read down through here. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation or spitting. For the Lord Yahweh helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has the case against me? Let him draw near. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who's that talking about? That's Jesus Christ. You want to know how he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross? Because he opened his ears. He had that morning by morning awakening of the Father. And the Father was teaching him. And he was teaching him to have a tongue of a disciple. One who could give rest to the weary. Encouragement. And as he was doing that, you notice how they've coupled this with, I gave my back to those who would beat me and my beard to have them plucked out. That's Jesus. You want to know how Jesus did it? He was taught by the Father to do it. He was taught by the Father to live the will of God. Again, he knew what the will of God was, but guess what he had to do? He had to live it. He had no choice. He had to live it. So as we look at this, and again, the challenge is, look at God as your teacher. I want you to focus on that. What kind of teacher is he? Is he everything the Bible tells? Or are we break down in faith? Well, God isn't good all the time. God doesn't love me sometimes. I'm not very lovable. Do we start throwing arguments against the Scripture about what the Scripture tells us about God? God will never leave me or forsake me. Oh, yeah? All right, there's that time back in whatever. I didn't see God in my life at all. Don't use God's living word to block him out of your classroom of life because he's there. He's not going anywhere. The title of this sermon was The Mind of Christ is a Terrible Thing to Waste. It was off of the TV commercial. I can't remember when it was, in the 60s or 70s, back there before some of you guys were born. It had to do with going to college. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste, which it is. But we have the mind of Christ. The beauty of this, and I'd like to close with this, God has given us the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So he's given us a living word. He's given us a living spirit, a living abiding spirit. And he's put them all together to teach us. And he's proven to us that it works through the life of Jesus Christ, through the life of other faithful servants, faithful servant of Ezra. We have no excuses at all for not learning and growing in our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. All right, I got to hear the Word of God. I can hear it audibly. Well, when they talk about that in Greek or Hebrew, hearing means doing. If you hear it, you do it. And he's empowered us to do it. So don't waste your educational opportunities in the Spirit of God. The promises are tremendous. The Word has given us everything. Knowledge of God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And through his magnificent and excellent promises, we have been made partakers of a divine nature, all by the power of God. May God grant us and teach us what those very verses mean. Motivate us to go to him as the only teacher who can make me learn the things of God, change my life, and bring glory to his name. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you as a teacher. You do teach us, sometimes kicking and screaming, through sometimes through trials and tribulations, but sometimes through blessing and miracles, and we thank you for that. I pray for all of us, myself included, this would be the year that we'd all be more attentive in your classroom, that we'd spend more time in the scripture, that we'd spend more time sharing the gospel, that we'd spend more time growing in our faith and listening to a God who's qualified to be the best teacher ever. And not only that, loves us and has proven it over and over again. Thank you, Lord. Shall we stand? Father, you've made us all students, and we'll all be taught of you. Fill us with your Spirit. Teach us and grow us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.